We're going to study from Sfas Emes, Shnas Tov Reish Nun. Shnas Tov Reish Nun. Rashi alludes to this medrash, where Rashi says, Afal pi sheshama shemisasot tluya b'davar, even though Moshe Rabbeinu heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, direct linkage between the war to be waged against Midian and his, Moshe Rabbeinu's, passing from this world. Nevertheless, Asa b'simcha v'lo ichem. He led an organized battle against Midian with joy and without delay. Medrash says that Moshe really could have lived longer. Let's see it inside. Sfas Emes quotes the Medrash, Ilu ratza Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shalom lichyos kamashanim. Hayichai. Moshe could have lived longer. Shekasu, because the Torah says.
Years.
Who knows how long he, however long he could have, however kamashanim, however long he could have procrastinated. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'eis ha-midyanim achar te'yasef elamech. You must take vengeance against the midyanim. After that, you'll pass away. Not before. So all we have to do is tarry a little bit.
It sounds like a reward.
It sounds like a reward. Well, it sounds like it's like your most important mission, and after you've done that, Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, Me'eis HaMidyanim, your life is complete. And we'll talk about that. But Moshe could have said, all right, so, you know, my life will be complete a few years later. No. He immediately set about doing what he had to do to prepare Klal Yisrael, Vayedaber Moshe Elhom. Immediately, Heichaltzu Me'itchem, meaning press forward with Zrizus. Rashi says, the uncle says that Heichaltzu means Zrizu Minchoin, Guvrin L'cheilo. Prepare the men for the attack. Get ready for the attack. Arm up. So, the Sfas Emes is not going to ask, wait a minute. Talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, could one imagine, could you think for a minute that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to procrastinate and say, well, you know, if I just don't get on with this preparation for the war against Midian so soon, I get to live it a little longer.
With Yitzhak the same, he woke up early in the morning.
Everybody's doing what they have to do immediately.
And then the soldiers were reluctant.
The soldiers were reluctant, Chazal say. And we'll talk about that. Yes. Vayimasru me'al fei Yisrael, meaning that they were given over, meaning they were drafted, because they knew that after this, Milchemes Midyan, Moshe's gone. But how could one even question that? It's a medrash, and its basis, the premise of the medrash, is impossible. Is that we cannot countenance such a premise. Those are the words of the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu said, would I delay doing what we must to take Nekama against Midian because I want to live a little longer? V'tzorech biur. Let me need to explain this. V'tzorech biur. Lama lehai taimo. You don't need to tell me how Moshe's mind works or didn't work with himself and how he did not procrastinate because he was going to do the mitzvah session. He's commanded, and Moshe, you know, he's the Eved Naaman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chol Beisi Naaman. He was told Nikaim, so of course he's going to do it right away without any regard for himself or Aval Inyan Hu. The point is, ki harotzen linkam velilchem milchemes mitzvah. This is not just any war. This is milchemes mitzvah. And a milchemes mitzvah of the most important kind. We're not taking their land. We're destroying evil. This was a melchama against Ra. This was the kiyum of Tzorah es Hamidyonim. V'kisem ha'yisam. Kitzoyrim heim lachem. Look at what they did to you. Look at what they instigated. How they insinuated themselves with through znus, and then thousands of Yidden died. So you have to fight this. You have to take this nekama. And it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, when telling this mitzvah over to the Jewish people, makes one very important change. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nikoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael, it's the nekama of the b'nei Yisrael. That's not what Moshe says. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vaydam Meshalam Leimar, Hey Kaltsume Etchem, etc., etc., V'yir al Midyon, Loseis Nikmas Hashem b'Midyon. Because, Kishyesh Lehem, Mashehu Negiya, Enem Yechelim Lamud Ben Milchama. Haroitzin, let's go back to the top line, Ki Haroitzin, Limkoim, Veliluchayim, Milchamas Mitzvah, Tzorech Liyoiz, Beli, Shum Negiya, Afilu Mashehu. Milchamas mitzvah, like any mitzvah. You're doing this, l'shem mitzvah. And since this is taking other people's lives, and since this is doing it because we are battling the ultimate in evil, and the vanquishing of this evil now, it's not just vengeance, you know, well, setting the records straight, evening the score. We're not just going to even the score. That's not the point. The point is that where we fell, we have to now do combat against that evil that temporarily beat us to the point that 24,000 Yidden died in a Magefa. That evil cannot just be addressed by the punishment. It has to be now that we are so strong that such evil is battled and fought against. And that evil that still remains with and inheres in Midyan is eradicated from this world. But all of this is not done because we're angry at Midyan. It's not personal. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, learn, feel deeply the evil that is Midyan. And now eliminate that evil from before my eyes. So then we are Moshe was told, it's Nikmas B'nai Yisrael. Moshe turns around and says to us that it's Nikmas Hashem B'Midyon. Because when you do this, when you fight and wage this battle, and wage this war, you're not doing it for yourselves at all. And Moshe now, by the selflessness of having not even a thought, not a thought, of, oh, you know, after this, I'm over. That's it. I'll pass away. It's not a consideration. Because that's how the whole milchama has to be waged, not just by the leader Moshe, but by all of us. And we followed his example. So now he quotes from Tehillim. Ki erdoif oivav asigem, humala helyona mikol hama'alos. To pursue and to do it for the right reason, then you're waging truly Milchemes Mitzvah. V'chalila l'histapek, God forbid, chalila to question Shehoye Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom Mis'akev? B'shvil Sheyichye? Of course not. Rak, HaKavana, the Kavana of the Medrash is She'im lo'y hoyo goyver boy nikmas b'nei Yisrael yoyse mikol chaye nafsha. Had he not cared more or only, exclusively, about vanquishing the evil of Midyan, had there been a shred of a kvetch in his heart, and then after that, then the whole Muhammad, he's not saying that they wouldn't have won the war. He's saying it wouldn't be Nikmas Hashem. Had there been a shred of a kvetch, there's no other word I can use, really. Because we're not saying that he would hesitate. No, Chalila. We're not saying that he would question whether he should press forward with the plan. No, Chalila. But what? Be some sense of internal sense of a kvesh. This is my last function. After this, I'm. I pass from the world. No! Because if there had been, im lo ha'yagayver boy nikmas v'nei Yisrael yos mikol chayei nafshe, if that war isn't more important than his whole being, ha'yam memela boy k'tzas negiya, then there would be k'tzas negiya. Meaning whether he's going to pass or not, that's not even the issue. This is a mitzvah Hashem. And the application, I mean, this is classic chassidus and avoda. When you have to do mitzvah and you're doing something, you do it with the entire being. Because that's my purpose. This is my sole purpose. And this mitzvah I'm about to do, that's more important than anything else. The Nekama, sure they would beat the Midianim. It's the exact same outcome on the ground, on the battlefield. Same outcome. But not in Shemayim. Not in the universe. Very different outcome.
Is it Moshe only, or do it include the people that fought?
And the people that fought have to follow in his image. This was no regular war. Remember, you know, he says, Elef Lamata, 1,000 from each Shevet, which is a very small, limited number of people. They were chosen. It was very much like the other battle against a spiritual enemy, Amalek, where the Torah says, "Bechar," Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Bechar lecha anoshim." Choose the soldiers very carefully. This was, unlike Sichon and Og, where, you know, we all went to battle. This was a very, very carefully organized, orchestrated army of a small number of Yidden from each Shevet. Ukezen Nefarish Gam Kein Mashikasa B'Medrash. In contrast, the Medrash says Yehoshua didn't live as long as Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years. The Navi says Moshe was 120 and Yehoshua 110. And the Medrash says, "Mashakasa b'Medrash b'Yeshua." Quote: "Yomim Rabim also Yehoshua es kol ha'malachim ha'ela milchama." Yehoshua made milchama with these malachim for many, many, many years. Al yidei sherotzo laharich yomim, because he knew that after these wars come to an end, he'll pass away, and because he wanted to be marich yomim, he was doing it more deliberately and not pressing the milchamos on quickly. So therefore, he lived 10 years less than Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Medrash says, "Rabbis machshavos belevish." Many people, you have all kinds of thoughts and plans. Va'atzas Hashem hisaku. And now the Sfasemer says, "V'hu pele." Can you believe this about Yehoshua? Yehoshua, the Tzaddik Yehoshua, who was like Moshe Rabbeinu, his Rebbe, when the Torah says that all the days of Yehoshua, they were just like they were living in purity under his leadership. Kilu Moshe Rabbeinu was alive because they did not sin in the days of Yehoshua like they didn't in the days of Moshe. In other words, like Yehoshua was such a massive success of a leader and of a Tzaddik. After all, Dogsiv Yomim Rabim also Yehoshua Eskol HaMelachim Ha'ela Milchama. He did fight all those years. Umashayach Imkein Lehalach Batl Mimilchama. He didn't desist from pursuing these battles. Umashayach Bizman HaMelchama Laharich LaKatzer. It was longer, it was shorter. He had some thoughts, some hesitation, not to act, but how he felt about the Milchama. He felt somehow about the Milchama, sadly, because after the Milchama, he's gone. Shimechayev tluyin baze, because how long he'll live, his longevity is dependent upon continuing these wars. The wars end, and his life comes to an end. Therefore, shuv lahaya yochel ilachim binakel. Therefore, it wasn't easy for him. He did battle with himself. He had to do battle internally, Yehoshua. Because he wasn't exactly quite like Moshe Rabbeinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was not a challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu was so pure and complete in his absolute devotion to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that knowing that this is his last effort and the last mitzvos comes without it affecting how he feels about what he's doing. In the case of Yehoshua, he was doing it. He was doing it, and he didn't desist from or go slow or not press the milchamos on the way you have to. But there was a cognizance. He was thinking and feeling about the fact that after these milchamos, I'm gone.
This one can't we say what the Rav just said, that Yeshua was a Navi, and he knew after he died that the Jewish people would start going astray. So that's the reason why he had to have a Mina for wanting to prolong
the situation. Could be. You're being malamed, Chus? Okay. The Medrash says that there was this kvesh internally on his part, because it would mean the end of his life when these milchamos come to an end. V'lechein mesayim ha-medrash, rabbis machashavos belevish. The Medrash uses that pasuk specifically because it's not that he, Yehoshua, did something to slow down the war or to thwart the efforts or to not pursue battle the way he had to. Chalila. But rabbis machashavos belevish. It was in his heart. There was the regard of the war as something that has connected to it the fact that afterwards he's gone. Lema shelahayi kan shumchet rak ezeh or ezehu hirhur. There was just this intimation of the heart. Vezeha hirhur hayi ikuv. But it makes a difference. It holds you back from doing the mitzvah perfectly. Shaloyia yochel ilachim berega achas. And maybe the Sfasemis is suggesting that slowed him down unwittingly. Not that he wanted to. Not that he chose to go more slowly or more deliberately. But just, even if he didn't realize it, he felt held back. V'Hashem Yisbarach Hu Boichen Libayis Uklayas Kedisim B'Midrashim. Because Baruch Hu is Boichen Libayis Uklayas. The Medrash that he's referring to, as he explains, is Sha'afilu, the Medrash Rabba, Sha'afilu HaMachshavis Sha'odim Ba'atzmai Eino Margish Behem. Thoughts that are going to come up and have not yet arisen in our minds are known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we think them. It's a Medrash. Medrash Rabbah. They are gluyin, they are there, seen and known by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gluyin heim lefanov yisbarach shemay. Because since it's a potential thought, it's something we could conceivably think of. Because it's something that we care about. And since it's something we care about, it's something within us. And if it's within us, even if it's not yet come, not only not to expression, not even the thought has arisen, but if it's going to, the content that will cause the thought to arise is known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu already, says the Medrash. So the purity of a Jewish conscience is that it wouldn't ever come to mind.
Doesn't that contradict with Hira Chavshis?
No. No. The fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows it, remember, like the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Perek Hei tells us, Kadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is not like human knowledge. And that's why it's not temporal, it's not dependent upon time. Where you would say, well, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows before I think of it, then it's because of him that I think. No, it's not the cause, It's just, it's knowledge. And again, it's knowledge of a totally different kind. Because Baruch Hu knows what we're going to do wrong, right? It's the same question. The person's going to actually do something. Now, of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows that it's going to happen. But again, like the Rambam says, knowledge as we understand it is in the context of time. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not a thing. Not even the greatest computer should be compared in any way. Because this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is a completely different entity. Beyond our understanding and beyond knowledge as you and I talk about it.
There's a mission in the Bible.
Right.
There's a mission in the Bible.
Zman is a
Bria
in itself.
Zman is also a Bria.
So it's all happening.
For us, it happens in the context of time, but not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It says in Elvis, HaKol Tzafui.
HaKol Tzafui, correct. It says so in Elvis, HaKol Tzafui. But yes, yet, it also says in the Mishnah that our Bechira is there.
Yeah.
But the choice is ours. Yeah. So purity of thought, I mean, so this is when we think about how much we have to work to attain our own tahara, our own purity, and our own devotion. This is how deep it is, and how much work we have to do to attain the purity of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a thought could not ever arise. The content and that which is needed such that the thought arises isn't even there. And that's what we're saying about Moshe Rabbeinu. He was so completely devoted, and then therefore on the other side, selfless, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him this, and it has no effect on him as a human being, as a person.
Doesn't that put him very, very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That means not closest in regard to.
Yeah.
Doesn't that put that puts him, you know, so close, similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Zod Sabrocha. Asher Beirach Moshe Ish Ho Elohim. Yes, 100%. It's an aspect of Moshe that's Ish Ho Elohim. 100%. Very, very true. She'afilu ha-machshavas she'adu ba'atzmei enim argish behem gluyin him lefonu b'sbok shmei. V'zehu oya shvachoy shel Moshe. That's the praise of Moshe, Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Shlohu yimargish shum negi'al klal. It meant nothing to him personally, though he heard that after this Muhammad he's gone. So where the Medrash is saying it, you know, in a way that you just concretely understand it, Svasemis is saying deeper, of course, what it means is that it didn't touch him. It didn't even touch him. Not that he didn't act upon it, it didn't have the thought. And he didn't have the thought because in his heart he doesn't have selfishness enough to care about himself when it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah. This holy mitzvah, and again, importantly, the doing of a mitzvah, and in this case, the vanquishing of evil, it's important that it be with Nikmas Hashem. And if it's Nikmas Hashem, that means it has to be for the purest motives. We're not in it for anything about ourselves. And then he says, "V'chein kasvu hamafarshim perush hapasik heicholtzu me'idchem." This purity of kavana in making war, the mafarshim, you see the footnotes in the Battle of Deglamach and Ephraim, you know, and then the Beshet's grandson, and then Kedushas Levi, the Beditchev. The Beditchev's words, if I may read them to you, "Kimisha roitz alasis milchamos kishe yismach al Hashem." You want to really fight for Hashem's sake, then your kavana has to be selfless. And that's what the words mean. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, fascinating word. What does heicholtzu mean? So we said before that Targum says, Zrizu minchain guvrin lechela. Be mizaris and prepare and arm up men. They should go like a chalutz. So why is a chalutz in modern Hebrew? What's a chalutz? Someone's a brave pioneer, right? Who goes out and prepares and faces all kinds of challenges. Why is it that the same word means to remove. For instance, when a woman is not married to the Yavam, and the Yavam doesn't take her, so she performs chalitza. Chalitzana, which means the removal of that special shoe, of that special sandal. So that means that the same word means to prepare with intensity and preparedness. And that same word means to take off or strip something away. Because heicholtzu me'idchem means she'anshe ha'melchama tzvichin lachloitz kol negius atzmoison. Atzmus. To be a real chalutz means to prepare. And to prepare means to divest oneself of oneself. Of what I want, what I need, what I would like, what I'm concerned about. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says what he says to them when he tells them, the first thing he says, as far as preparing with you know, preparations for the Milchama against Midian, and the Berditchva said that means, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, as we just saw, is completely divested of any self-interest. And therefore, it means nothing. It means nothing to him that afterwards, achar te'asef elamecha, he says to Bnei Yisrael, now, like me, pure of heart, go to war against Midian with the same selflessness. Tzrichin lachloitz kon legiyus atzmuson limson nafshom lemilchemes Hashem, he says, changing it from milchemes, you know, or nikmas Bnei Yisrael, he says, it's Nikmas Hashem b'Midyan, and then it says Uksiv va'yimosru me'alfei Yisrael elef amata shneim osa elef chalutzei tzava va'yimosru, meaning they gave themselves over completely. And Rashi describes, someone mentioned earlier, came into Hashem Ruben Yisrael Hashem Moshe, when they heard that after this Moshe is gone, they didn't want to go, they didn't want to fight Milchemes Midyan, because now we love Moshe, we're not going to let him go. I mean, the irony, you know, they gave him such a hard time for 40 years, but now when he's being taken from them, they say, no, we're not going to go to the Milchama. And Moshe says, no, you're going to go, and you're going to go with a purity of heart. Shehem hayol ahem negiyah bazeh. And Moshe stripped it away from them, just like he stripped it out of himself, took it away from them, and they followed his marvelous example of purity of heart in vanquishing this evil of Midian. Shehem hayu lehem negiyah bazeh. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu v'sholem b'amrei, when he says to them, heicholtzu me'idchem, strip away any of your own interests or concerns. Bitul mehem kol hanegiyus. That helped remove from them, like Moshe, they were inspired by their great leader. Take away all of my negiyus. Of course, I'm going to do nikmas Hashem, and they were fired up and then devoted the way they needed to be, following in Moshe's footsteps with that kind of a purity of devotion. Baal karcham v'nipshku achar darkei shel Moshe, following Moshe's example of how to be completely selfless. That's how you do a mitzvah, and that's how you do mitzvah Hashem and nikmas Hashem. That's how you fight the ra. That's how you fight evil and vanquish it and beat it back forever.